AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy. And joining me, as always, in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host. I didn't have to do that in the middle. Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. He literally stops chewing when I put the mic there. The one thing he could do. Oh, yeah, there it is. That's Artie. Joining me also, returning guest, first time in the studio, because the last time was live and an absolute disaster. In a fun way. We thought Horatio was going to die.
Oh, the scariest show ever.
The audience truly thought Horatio was going to die. Guys, that's Sean Diston's voice you're hearing right
there. What's up, fuck boys? I mean, no, what are they called? Shitheads? You're the number one fuck boy. It's confusing.
Yeah, you're telling me. I'm trying to keep this fucking lore alive. It's the only thing that people know me from. So I got to keep this shit going. As always, guys, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and roast me in the comments, I will read them on air. Or whatever this is called. I think I say that every time.
On air or whatever this is called, podcast air.
Podcast air. We're on podcast air. Welcome back to podcast fresh air with Terry Gross. I'm the real Gross. Putting the Gross in Terry Gross. Oh boy, I'm off to a terrible start. At least we won't be talking about some heady nonsense bullshit the whole time.
Great.
So here, let's read some reviews. This is Megadeth of Superman, gives me 5 stars and says, yikes, like Impractical Jokers, but think it's too highbrow? Perfect. This jabroni waxes poetic about how he's racist and wants to have things in his keister. Classic. Keep up the good work. Jabba, you big balloon of opinionated mayonnaise.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that one hits.
I don't think that one hits that hard. He likes you.
Yeah, I mean, they all like me.
They all love you.
They're all in too deep here, just even going on iTunes to rate.
This is from Limolicious, and it's meh, 5 stars. It's incredible working. It's incredible. Working actor Josh Gad also has time to do a silly podcast in between starring in so many movies. What a talent. I bet his dad is still alive, too.
Ooh, wow. Tough one, tough one.
Yeah, okay. People really like to do that. Ooh, ooh. People enjoy that. Okay, here, let's read one last one. This is from Robbie Dub, and it's Great Motivation Podcast. I don't know what Garbo's rambles about, but each struggling fat breath out of his sweaty asshole's mouth gives me the motivation I need to get that extra pump in at the gym to not end up like him.
Fuck you. You're not going to the gym, you piece of shit.
Yeah, I got
to
get that extra pump. Yeah, I'll give you a fucking extra pump 3.5 inches into your asshole.
Thanks for the 5 stars, you asshole.
Yeah, fuck you, pal. So as always, if you rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments. I will read it and then make fun of you again. This is obvious grab. I need stars, people.
I love it. I think it's a great idea. I think other people have copied it and imitated it. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I think Barstool Sports, one of their podcasts, actually stole it. And they probably have like 12 times the amount of listeners.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, now that I even said that, I probably just raised the ire of some fucking fat neck beard with a Red Sox fitted on is about to start fucking screaming at me over Google Voice or some shit. I don't know what I'm talking about. Guys, Distance here.
What's up?
Oh, shit. I am here. Distance on because I first heard him talk about this topic on Don't Get Me Started, the RIP to a lovely podcast.
Great podcast. By Will Shout Hines. Out to Anthony and Will.
Anthony King, Will Hines, Tony King and Billy Hines, as I call them. That's my close friends. Tony
Not
K and Billy Hines, baby. Right. You were talking about this fingerprint of the gods.
Yeah.
Pre-civilization, is that what we're calling
it?
Yeah,
I think we called it pre-civilization that time. But it really revolves around Graham Hancock.
Graham Hancock.
Yeah, he's like sort of this like leader in this theory of this lost civilization theory, which is fascinating.
And the theory is not as close to conspiracy theory as it sounds.
Yeah.
There's at least what seems to be some layers of proof or something.
Let me explain like how I got to
this would be awesome. And Graham Hancock, if you maybe the name sounds familiar, he's a recurring Joe Rogan guest.
Yes. He's also been on like London Real. He's been on a ton of podcasts. Like So he's like a podcast celebrity, but he's also like written some books, some fiction books and nonfiction books. But he's just like this guy who has put together a bunch of different types of science, and he sort of has posited this theory that we have not really just evolved in a straight line, that we've evolved and there have been cataclysms on Earth that have caused us to have to rebuild many times, and we've lost like tons of knowledge, and there's a lot of evidence to back it up.
We're not the first, like we believe that we evolved and now we're here.
Right.
He posits that we've evolved and been destroyed possibly several times over.
Right. Like it looks more like a stock market where it's like going up and down and like, you know, there's been dips in humanity. And, you know, I think a lot of his theories unify a lot of science. It's just a lot. It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's really enjoyable in like that science adjacent, you know, like not science adjacent because it is factual, but like, has like 7 different disciplines involved, and it's
a big swing of a theory, but also like he wrote the book in 95 and then has written a sequel to it, and only since then has he been proven more and more right. Even like in the last couple weeks they discovered that like underground like set of tunnels that was like maybe the Mayan civilization, or I don't remember exactly what it was, somewhere in South America, but it was like,
we should say right now that that's okay.
That's,
we're not
gonna
be remember
fine for this podcast.
We're getting more mighty in the studio
for
as
sure
the day
we're
goes
getting
on.
Mightier and mightier. But I think there was even just a discovery recently that was like, oh wow, there may have been millions of people in this civilization and we didn't know of it, just based on underground tunnels and like stuff we haven't discovered in like places we know are archaeological sites.
Right.
So it's fascinating.
It's saying that like such huge cataclysmic events, possibly like we were alive before, there was humans before
the
first ice age.
And that we know.
Yeah.
But the real question is, was there civilization?
Right.
Were they all hunter-gatherers? And like, there's so much evidence. But like, part of the reason it interests me, any of it interests me, is just like, when I was young, it was like learning about religion in general. once you learn about the history of religion, I think it puts it into context, right?
Right.
Because you're like, oh, Christianity is only 2,000 years old or whatever. And like civilization is much older than that. And you're like, oh, that's very interesting. But when you kind of grow up, you don't think that. You're like, yeah, this must have been around forever.
Right, yeah.
Because the Bible starts in the beginning.
The Bible starts at zero. At so zero. It's got to be the beginning. And you're like, what about the 8,500 years
exactly.
before that?
So it's there's always been like, and I think my dad was a person who like questioned religion in a way because his parents were like Seventh-day Adventist, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So they're like a religion that's very wild. Like, yeah. It's just out of control. And my dad was like, this is crazy. So he's always like question religion. I remember like when I was really young, my dad told me like, you know that there's been a Jesus in almost every religion.
Yeah. That was the first time I heard that, whatever that was, in like high school or college, yeah. Maybe even from just like a classmate bragging about it. The first time someone goes like, well, doesn't Buddha and Jesus and Allah, don't all these guys sound kind of
similar?
Familiar?
Yeah. And then, you know, my dad took it even further and he was like, so many religions have flood myths. And right. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. There's Gilgamesh, there's Noah, there's yeah. all these other ones in other yeah. religions.
Is Artie bothering you?
No, I fucking love it. Oh my God, this is the best thing ever. Artie is right now on top of me licking my hand and I'm in heaven. I love this stuff. But yeah, so like my dad used to just tell me these things where it was like a lot of things in religion are strange. And part of the reason that there's a Jesus in every religion is because a lot of times it was like worshiping the sun. It was worshiping the new sun.
Right.
Christmas is a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
When I was young, my dad used to tell me Christmas was a pagan holiday all the time. And it
That's
was like,
so cool.
Yeah,
my dad would say, clean your fucking room.
Or you get no fucking gifts, you piece of shit. Yeah, so it's like I knew that like growing up. I even like when I was in high school, I wrote like a paper, like a newspaper article about it and got in all this heat with all these religious people from my
school.
That's
awesome. You're from Florida?
Florida.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, like it's a pagan holiday. Like the reason we celebrate in the fucking winter solstice is because it's a new sun
right,
being born.
Shortest day, the longest night of the year or whatever.
It's all this crazy like coincidence where you're like, oh, it's really just a fucking like
Jesus'
astrological
birthday is December 25th.
Yeah,
the same
zero.
Day.
Yeah, it's like it's a astrological event. It's an astrological celebration. And like all the like the symbology of like trees and shit. My dad was like, you know, ornaments come from the pagans when they used to like hang heads on trees.
Oh.
And all this other weird shit where he was like, Santa actually is from this old, like weird pagan. And I'm like, yo, this shit is wild. But I was always fascinated by that.
That's fucking cool.
Cause I was like, you know, we have this understanding of Christianity and what the world is. But like, if you just fucking take a second and think of the history of it, you can like start to form your own opinion.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the flood thing was an interesting thing that my dad brought up.
Right, because that just pinpoints some kind of event that it's like, why do we all have different takes?
Right.
On when I say we all, as an atheist, living in modern exactly. culture, it doesn't make that much sense. But I mean, like,
historically, why do all these religions yeah. have a take on it?
Yeah.
And that's a big part of Graham Hancock. So, like,
and there are also a lot of them are follow these rules or your life is fucked
exactly.
forever.
And, you know, and a lot of it is because, like, you know, how did you get punished? It was some fucking big storm. It was fucking a drought. It
right.
was fucking not getting the sun. You know, it was like, that's where they, and you looked up to the heavens, right? And so much of Graham Hancock's work, I think, starts to make sense of a lot of that stuff.
Right.
You start to see that, like, old civilizations worship the stars in the way that, like, has been bastardized into religions all over the world.
Right, like the famous, like, the three wise men follow the North Star,
it's
and it's
fucking,
like the North Star is in cave paintings.
Yeah, it's 100%
before religions.
Yeah, it's like, so all that stuff is bastardized, like, it's a remnant, it's echoes of a older civilization.
Right, because so, there's, like, this is a minor thing, and I might force you to jump around,
yeah.
but the big one was, like, how Chichen Itza and the pyramids and like there's like, you know, structures like that around the world that have very similar qualities that
it's
if
the
they
same
were
size. Yeah.
Yeah, if they were built when they seem to have been built, there's how the fuck
would they
it's an
do
insane
that?
Coincidence.
It's not a natural phenomenon to learn how to build pyramids.
Right. And why were they both able to, and like the
yeah.
measurements and like the latitude was pointing and
so
it's like
another
yeah.
crazy thing is I went to school for building construction. And I had a fucking teacher who was, he literally was like, I went to South America and studied construction techniques for years, like how they built these cities. So it was like how these like fucking, how they build bricks and bring them to this site and put them together or whatever. Right. And in class one day, I remember I asked, I was like, so you know basically how they built all these things. Well, like, can we talk about the pyramids? And it was like, you know, how did they build the pyramids? And he was like, well, we don't fully know. And we would struggle to do it today.
Right. It would be, with all the technology and equipment we have.
Isn't that fucking wild?
It would be very difficult to pull off because it's nearly flawless. Like, right? It's like nearly perfect wild. In brick measurement and everything like that.
Yeah.
And you'll hear people say slaves.
Yeah.
But that's
probably still true. But still, how the fuck did they do it? Right. Even if we had all these slaves in the world.
Who were the minds that designed it?
How the fuck did they do it? And, yeah. And like, we still don't know. Construction experts, it's 2 million 2-ton stones.
Yeah.
2 million. It's crazy. So high up. I've never seen it in person, but like, I imagine it's unfathomable to be like, that was made by people who are like lesser advanced than us.
Right,
do you know what
right.
I mean? And it doesn't mean that they had technology or electricity or whatever. It wasn't like aliens came and built it, but like, they had a different understanding. Like, all right, so I think the best way to even talk about this is like, you posit the theory. So Graham Hancock says there was an older civilization that at the end of the last ice age, a comet hit the earth.
Yeah.
And caused sea levels to rise. I think it's called like the global something event one. It's like a well-documented sea level rise. Yeah. This is undisputed science. There was a sea level rise at the end of the last ice age 13,000 years ago, approximately. And what happened was tons of civilizations that were like coastal and highly advanced were wiped out.
Right. And often coastal cities were the most advanced because they had the access to other cities.
Exactly. Because they were sharing. And he thinks that we lost a civilization that was a seafarer civilization that lived on the coast. And during the Ice Age, you couldn't live inland because there were deserts. Based on the conditions of the Ice Age, it was like the only places we could live really were on the coast. And very little people lived in the like areas that eventually became fertile and became the Fertile Crescent.
Right.
So what he says is that a comet hit and then the sea level rose, destroyed this civilization, and then we've rebuilt since then. And we've rebuilt in a different way based on technology, and he thinks it was like an astronomy-based, seafarer, highly advanced civilization. Yeah. And we're a more like technology-based, electronic, like electricity-based,
right,
advanced. So like we're advanced in a similar way, but in very different ways.
Yeah.
And then the thing about Graham Hancock that's great is that he's gone around the world and just followed all these clues for that theory.
Right. He's got a great website. He's got a great, so his first book, that the one that like kind of threw this all out there, was Fingerprints of the Gods.
Well, I think he's written some other books before that, but I think the first book that really gets into ancient Egypt and shit like that is Fingerprints of the Gods. He wrote a book before that about the fucking Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, right.
And all this really crazy shit about Ethiopia. And like
that the Ark of the Covenant might be a real thing, possibly magical, possibly.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing about Graham Hancock.
We should start with this. We should say.
He's got a lot of red flags that, as a person who's like been on board for a while, they don't bother me.
Right. But like the stuff, because he's like also really into ayahuasca.
He's into ayahuasca. He's been a person who smoked a lot of weed in his life.
Yeah.
He believes that like when you take ayahuasca, you're visited by actual beings
like that, and that the
and that you
which
have
is what the shamanic people
the shaman
are
believe. Look, yeah. We can go into that even, and I
we should do ayahuasca on the podcast.
It'd be fucking 5 stars. Yeah, but like, so he has a lot of stuff where you're like, you can get distracted by some of the other stuff you might not agree with.
Right,
and he has a whole thing on like how like we have a like we're a slave, we're like imprisoning consciousness essentially. Like, not the war on drugs is this like way of making it so that they can control people's consciousness and all this. And he talks about it in a very grand way, but basically the things he's saying ring somewhat true.
Right. He like puts his toe into something I'm interested in and I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then he's like, and also this. Yeah. And you're like, okay, pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of these guys that I really enjoy, like Joe Rogan, like him, even though they're all different, but like entertainers like Tim Ferriss, Malcolm Gladwell, you're always like, yeah, there's something to that. I appreciate you going this far down, but I'm not sure if I'm on
board. What I like about it is that they share a mindset of open-minded thinking.
Right, yeah. Like, there's... let's just hear it out.
And let's follow what feels true and not what is established. And, like, there's something very inspiring about that. And when you hear Graham Hancock, if you ever, like, listen to him, he's so... he'll fucking... doze you into, like, he can get you into such a daze with his like calm British accent,
right?
And like he's
charming as fuck.
He's so charming, and he knows every fucking fact and every detail. He's a real like great person to posit this theory because he's an entertainer too.
And he was a journalist first.
He was a journalist for.
He's got like a few different angles that
he's got a fascinating story,
and he does cool shit. Like when he gets into undersea, like.
Yeah, he like is a he's like a fucking explorer. He has to do all these deep dives. He's like a real life Indiana Jones. Like, I think he's amazing. But, you know, he has some theories that are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So but this,
the Ark of the Covenant one is wild.
It's pretty wild.
More about
You know, I think the Ark of it's related though. Because I think it is a mystery from the Bible that there are a lot of fucking things in the Bible that are described, like the Ark of the Covenant. There's like a description of the Ark of the Covenant that's like, I don't know, man, what if it was some fucking radioactive meteor in a box? It's described that they used it in war and like people died of cancerous boils and
It could easily be like what it is. Like religion has always explained shit that was unexplainable. Religion was used.
Exactly.
So it's like, why wouldn't it be used for like, and now I think we have to tell the tale of the fucking Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. And I think so much of Graham Hancock's work is trying to like reconcile religious teaching with science, with archaeology, with geology, with astronomy.
And that's where it gets into, because a lot of academics, and now I'm maybe just full on Kool-Aid, but a lot of academics are so prickly about their little areas of study.
Yeah, it's academic bias in science. I think it's across the, it's all over the place. I think I even experience it at fucking UCB as like
on a low level.
Totally. There's that academic bias all over the place.
Where it's like, well, I don't know. I sort of always believe that the second beats are supposed to be,
you
know, like.
And it's like, because you always have, which is fine. But people like Graham Hancock are always like, what's the like.
Yeah.
Their curiosity leads them, which I think is interesting.
Because there's that big thing, too, where the like erosion on
so
the
let's go into that. Okay. I wanted to. So that's
I'll
the
keep
theory.
Going with where you were. Yeah.
So the theory is essentially like there's this lost civilization, and a lot of skeptics are like, there's no evidence of that. The evidence that the way we figure out history is through archaeology. Right. So we find the pyramids, we uncover, you know, pyramids in South America. And we do our research based on that. And I think Graham Hancock has had to now, because his theories aren't proven by those things, he's now had to go deeper, right? So there's a ton of different mysteries that line up for this theory.
Right.
And the first main one is the dating of the Sphinx in Egypt, right? So the story goes that, like, this isn't even Graham Hancock's work. I think it's a guy named John Anthony West and Robert Schock.
Yes.
Right? And they basically came to the conclusion that by looking at the Sphinx, like the platform the Sphinx is, the enclosure the Sphinx is built on, it has weathering marks that geologists are in agreement are the result of thousands of years of rainfall.
Right. Which would predate
ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
And predate the pyramids. And meaning like there's very solid science as far as like the weather of the earth.
Right.
And the only time that Egypt was temperate and there was enough rain to cause that kind of weathering goes back to the last ice age, 13,000 years ago.
Right, because they're able to like using like star mapping and weather mapping, yes.
So that's the first sort of like big theory that gets people thinking, right?
Yeah.
And there's more mysteries in Egypt. Then you start to look at astronomy. And the fucking, first of all, one of the craziest things is that in order to have built Egypt, they understood a precession, meaning like they understand a cycle of like the stars in the sky.
Right.
That is 26,000 years.
Right. Because there's some design in the in the elements of the pyramids and other things where it lines up with certain latitudes and longitudes.
So that's basically like the way it works is the Sphinx is facing the sun on the, I believe, summer solstice. So when it rises, it's right over the Sphinx. And you can then, and over the horizon, there's one of the like astrological signs will be there. And over a 26,000 year period, those signs shift. And when that sign was lined up with the Sphinx, which is the lion, Leo, was 13,000 years ago when it was above the thing. So Graham Hancock posits that they were dating, they were trying to date a time with this whole site. And 13,000 years ago also lines up with when the Orion's belt was above the horizon, which lines up with the actual three great pyramids.
Right. They're under like the biggest stars.
Right. So this guy, John Anthony West, figured out that there was an offset to the pyramids of like 9 degrees or some shit. And, you know, it was a peculiar offset because everything is so exact in Egypt. It's perfectly aligned east-west. It's aligned
with
all
this.
And
we're still
this
not
shit.
Even saying, like, how crazy that would be
now.
Period. Yeah, exactly. Like
to even build. But then it's also aligned so perfectly.
Right.
And then you realize that it's the same exact alignment of the three stars in Orion's belt. Right. Which represents a star called the Duat, which is where they believed you went after you died. So there's this crazy, like, ancient mystery in Egypt where it's like, okay, the craziest thing to me is that they understood precession.
Right. They understood the passage of time.
So for a civilization to understand a 20-plus thousand-year cycle, how long do they have to have existed?
Right. Or what kind of information
did they have access to, or were they handed down? Right.
Oh yeah. Or
you know, and so a lot of people think that, or not a lot of people, I guess Graham Hancock and this whole
community of
people believe that, like,
by the way, which I've joined, and I want to just take a pause here for 1 second to say, everyone always jokes about how much I talk over people on this podcast, and Sean has performed live improv with me thousands of times.
He
knows I'm a monster. But it turns out I know something that'll keep me silent and listening. Is Distin fucking breaking down all that? I'm so into it. I'm fucking...
I think it's fascinating. And I don't do as good a job as Graham Hancock. Like, right. I think he is, like, unreal.
I listened to a couple of his episodes of Joe Rogan. And those are good entry levels if
you don't
hate
Joe
Rogan.
Look, I don't love Joe Rogan as a person. Like, or not really as a person, but like... I'm just
as a neighbor. He's so loud.
I'm just not interested in UFC. I'm not interested in a lot of like
his
opinions.
Others, yeah.
But when he talks to people like Graham Hancock, like Tim Ferriss, he's very... he's led by his curiosity, so I respect that. Uh-huh. So the Graham Hancock episodes of the show are totally great. You'll never think even about... You'll never think about Joe Rogan when you're listening
to
it.
Yeah, and he doesn't talk because...
They're great.
Every once in a while, Graham Hancock will just show you that he's a 70-year-old stoner, though, when he goes, I've lost my train of thought.
Totally,
and they're
so
like,
funny.
And someone like Joe or Duncan Trussell will go, you were saying that the consciousness slips in and out of like wear meat clothes or something like that? And he's like, yes. And then he just goes,
and then he goes
it's
amazing.
All right. They're offset by 9 degrees.
But like, I don't know the perfect
but
thing,
whatever
but
the number is.
The same offset is the same offset as Orion. So
there's the Duat, which is...
Basically you have this thing where there's a representation on the ground of the stars. And that representation goes back to a certain date.
Right.
So then Graham Hancock starts to like travel the world and like goes to fucking Cambodia. And there's this other place, I think it's called Angkor Wat.
Yes.
And it is almost exact same thing. It's a star, the star Dracaris or something. And it's a bunch of temples that are that in the sky. It's fascinating when you watch him do it with the like computer and him watch it line up.
Yeah.
And when did that line up? When it was above the horizon? 13,000 years ago. Right? 10,500 BC.
So we're saying that their Angkor Wat is kind of pointing to the same things.
Right.
It's pointing in a different direction than the Egypt stuff, but it's pointing all at the
same
thing.
And they have so many like similarities in their religion and in their like worship of astronomy, and then you see the same thing in South America, like you were saying,
in
the pyramid,
there's one in Mexico,
Chichen Itza, the sun pyramid, and like there are pyramids in South America and in Egypt, and when you're young you're like, whoa, I guess they were just there, but when you really start to think about it you're like, how the fuck, they're a little different, but They're
too
both
similar to not like think, right. start to think about.
They're both.
We're
so
saying
rooted.
That there's three parallel evolutions happening, and they're gaining access to the same like
it's wild
technology at the same rate and build such similar designed and like inspired things
by astronomy, right?
Right. Yeah.
They're so and a lot of their beliefs are the same. Like a lot of the terms end up lining up, like Graham Hancock's like. They use the term opening of the mouth as the way to like release the soul into the heavens. They all thought that you went to a star in the sky when you died.
Yeah, which is also sounds like heaven.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many of these things. So it's like he's great at that. And then there's like underwater stuff. So it's like he found like there's this place, Yonaguni, off the coast of Japan. That's like an underwater like. Basically
like
stone pyramid,
display.
Essentially. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. And it's like. You go underground and the debate is whether or not it's man-made, and a lot of it is 90 degree angles, and you can go on his website and see all the stuff. It's like insane. And then it's like, you know, when was that above ground? When was water like?
Because it's 115 feet deep or shit like that.
It's like 100 feet underground, underwater. And it's like, when was that above water? When were there men on that there creating stuff? And it's like, you know, 13,000 years ago based on pretty hard science of sea level, right?
Right.
Then you have the Atlantis myth.
Which is the undersea world.
Which is
like,
wild. And which is a seafarer civilization that was highly advanced, that became two whatever, and then a fucking great flood destroyed them, right? And it's like, yo, Graham Hancock has found many Atlantises off the coast of fucking South America and off the coast of Japan and off the coast of London. There are just too many of those sites to ignore. And then there's fucking cartography, right? So he's like, there are these maps where it's like, there are these mistakes in these maps where it's like, there's an island here, but there's no island there. But then when you start to wind the clock back, you start to see that, oh, there was an island there 13,000 years ago.
Oh, shit.
And maps have been copied, and that's the type of thing that gets handed down. And then we're like, oh, well, this map was just a mistake, right? There are all these clues that make you start thinking, like, what the fuck is going on? Another big one is, like, pyramid building in Egypt got worse as the civilization went on.
Right. Okay, yeah. This is a very interesting one. It's
wild.
Yeah, they don't improve their skills.
They got worse. The first Great Pyramid and the Sphinx are, like, the grandest of them all, and the rest of them are falling apart. Whereas the Great Pyramid is fucking standing strong. And it's like, how is that? What is that? The Great Pyramid
was, did they build the other things after?
Because were they replicating something from before?
Right,
were they repairing and building on top of other things before?
Did a handful of people survive that cataclysmic event and pass on their knowledge via oral tradition?
Right? Here's a crazy thing.
By the way, I realized when just before I said, like, Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, these are guys who host podcasts where they invite one other person on to make them talk to them about things they're interested in.
It's
and
true.
I'm realizing that's what I'm
it
doing.
Is what you're
I'm
doing.
Ripping them off and but, I'm going, they're assholes.
But you're doing it on the level of, like, comedians who, like, have a, you know, that aren't just eating their own Kool-Aid all the time or whatever. So
we gotta get Graham Hancock on.
We gotta
Mighty.
Get Hancock. He'll fucking do it.
I would love that, dude. Imagine we just got toasted with Graham Hancock and let him spew information.
Oh my
us.
God, we'll do ayahuasca with you, Graham Hancock.
Please, yeah, we'll have that shared communal experience.
But yeah, so there's all these things in Egypt, and then it's like in Mexico too, and then there's like other hints in Mexico, like the Olmecs, right?
Yeah,
there are these very they predate the Mayans. They're super old, and they have, like, African features almost in their paintings, right? Then they have these fucking cave paintings of these almost white bearded men coming and giving them things.
Right.
And you're like, what is that? Is that a survivor from this? Is that a guy that was on the boat when the fucking flood happened and was like, fuck, we got to go and rebuild. Let's go to this primitive civilization and show them how to build pyramids.
Shit.
And then
was it colonization of some sort that happened on like a Quaker scale or something like that?
I think that is what happened. I mean, there's so many.
Is there
many
some
things.
Explanation where it's like, don't forget Pangaea? Maybe all these countries were way closer and able to communicate about the pyramids.
I think Pangaea predates
all of that.
I would be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think Pangaea predates modern man.
Right.
Meaning, like, we were not. I think we were definitely like dinosaurs were in North America.
Right, right.
Do you know
what
I mean? Like, yes. I think it has nothing to do with that. There's
Pangaea was one before.
The way
I'm just like, no, totally.
It's a great question. I think the way they explain it is fucking the, like, coming over the, like, northern whatever through Alaska, and they think that, like, Indians came down through South America. That's still the thing they use.
Right.
Which is wild. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I think it's wild. That's crazy. I think that there are so many clues that Graham Hancock has brought up that I'm like, not everything he says is 100% right, but he's on the right track.
Yeah, or there is another explanation. Well, because, like, doesn't a lot of this stuff parallel, like, kind of use some of the same evidence as the ancient aliens?
Well, I think it's perfect. It's a perfect thing to talk about because I think ancient aliens have... they have this gap where they're like, well, we can't explain how they figured this out, so it must be from this higher power that had a higher level of
knowledge.
But
that's if they're still believing with the old school
Graham
view.
Graham Hancock just thinks that those people were human.
Right.
It's the same fucking questions that they're bringing up. A lot of the same things. Why are the pyramids the same?
Exactly.
Why are this blah, 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 blah? You'll see that fucking guy with the hair or whatever on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, my favorite fucking meme.
Yeah, like whoever
he's always on one of all, like, the 8 stoner Instagrams I follow. A shout out to Daily Pot Humor for 2069.
Yeah, we love it.
We love it, brother. Let's do it. We advertise on our podcast.
But there's a lot of, like, parallel shit.
Yeah, I think, and it's like these are people who seeking knowledge in the same area.
Yeah,
but from their own academic biases.
Yeah, they want it to be aliens, right?
And these guys, and Hancock wants it to be people,
right? But I think, like, Graham Hancock incorporates the evidence of the history of those religions,
right? Yeah,
and the actual archaeology, where I think a lot of those guys pick and choose what they want. Whereas, like, Graham Hancock's been challenged so hard all over the place,
right,
where I don't think those guys have put themselves out there in the way Graham Hancock
has.
Oh,
I'm sure.
And the thing about Graham Hancock is, like I said, he wrote the book in 95 and then wrote a sequel in 2015.
And that's like Magicians of the Gods. Yeah.
He's only been proven more right with more and more discoveries.
Yeah.
Göbekli Tepe in Turkey is the biggest archaeological discovery probably of our time. It's insane, and they're still trying to attribute it to hunter-gatherers,
right?
But it's like,
the technology,
there's no way they
of
built
the building
that.
Reaches past
they're carving animals that don't exist in the region, right? They're not carving into stones. The animals protrude from the stones, and they're like perfect carvings.
So that's such a skill
it's
level
it's such
at
a
least.
Skill level, yeah. And they're trying
whether
to
whether
say,
or not it's because they have fucking laser technology that did it. We don't, you know.
What the fuck? They're trying to say it was hunter-gatherers? That's insane.
Right.
And it was intentionally buried. And it's like all these, and it's just pushing everything gets pushed back all the time. And there are scientists that try to hedge and be like, well, you know, this was an anomaly or this was that or this was that.
Because like these like early man findings where it's like the oldest person ever was found in Africa or whatever.
And there was an arrow in his heart.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that shit happens all the time. But I think we just can ignore them because we don't want to like shake the like, well, ancient Egypt is this mythology we've created. But it's like, maybe they were trying to
I'm about to go apeshit on research right after you leave.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, I'm going to make a list of like all the things. I'm like, I just turned into such a nut. I was just like, I'm going to make a list of all the things that point in that direction. I'm going to be able to talk about them. I'm like, I'm going to learn like PowerPoint presentation.
I've gone through it so many times. I've watched the like documentary so many times on YouTube. There's like a 2.5-hour documentary that he made in the 90s.
It's called like
Quest for a Lost Civilization.
Quest for a Lost Civilization.
And I'd say most of the important information is in the first hour and a half, but I've watched it so many times because I'm like, everything he's saying becomes more true every day.
Yeah, like, and that movie is pretty old, right? You said
It's old. And like, ultimately, it ends with this theory that like, he basically is like, yo, a comet hit the Earth. and caused rapid climate change and sea level change. And that was the thing that is our ultimately, he's like, that's what we should be worried about.
Right.
Now
that's
in this,
going to happen again.
Now in this new book with this guy, he's now teamed up with this guy, Randall Carlson, who spent his whole fucking life studying that impact and how it hit North America and how there's evidence all over the Pacific Northwest and how Graham Hancock's theories line up exactly with his theories to the ice core samples, like matching the exact dates that Graham Hancock's been positing since 95. And like climate change, like they now are calling it the like younger dryas period or something. They're calling it this period where there was crazy climate change after the end of the last ice age,
where
the earth was in turmoil. And he's saying that that was when the Great Flood happened and when, you know, we...
What he also is saying that hasn't really been said before is that during the Ice Age, people were alive.
Yes, and they lived on the coasts and thrived. Yeah.
A lot of people, like, the Ice Age is believed to be, like, eventually then we started having microorganisms.
Crawled out of the Ice Age. Well, no, we were still, like, cavemen in the Ice Age.
Yeah.
But they think we crawled out of the Ice Age and, like, then figured out... in the Fertile Crescent, how to have a civilization.
Right.
And that's insane. And like, even outside of Graham Hancock, there's other things like yoga and meditation that have existed for much longer than we can even imagine. That I'm like,
Kama Sutra. Oh.
The Kama Sutra, baby.
Bro, 69ing has been around forever.
But it's like,
dude, I'm telling you, 69, the aliens taught us.
The aliens fucking brought us 69 from fucking Jupiter, my man.
Trust me, bro.
No, but it's like that kind of stuff, like, I've, in my older age, after getting into this, like, Graham Hancock shit, I've, like, started to meditate. And I'm like, oh, now I'm understanding that, like, there are other understandings to the world that we don't fully get. And I think, like, there was this ancient civilization that, like, studied astronomy and like, I think that stuff's important. Like, I'm not a person who's, like, checking my, like, fucking, like, checking my horoscopes or whatever. But I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I do feel a little squirrely when it's a full moon sometimes.
Right.
Like, and there is something to think about in those cycles and, like... there's more to understand.
Yeah, and it's like maybe the only reason you feel that in the full moon is because of like psychosomatic, because everyone talks about full moons, but then it's chicken or egg. Why'd we ever start talking about full moons?
Part of it is just
where's the werewolf myth come from?
Right. Part of it is that it's just beautiful.
And it's fucking werewolves, man.
It's werewolves. They're fucking aliens.
But werewolves were 69ing aliens.
But no, I think it's like that kind of stuff. It like opens your eyes. I think that's why Graham Hancock started doing ayahuasca.
Right.
Because he was in South America studying these places, and he was like, whoa, these people were inspired by something,
right?
Like, and maybe, and he started talking to shaman, and they're like, yo, they put these plants to the plants told them to put these things together,
right?
And they seek this greater understanding. And like, I don't know, man, I'm open to it, because I'm like, Graham Hancock's teachings on prehistory have opened me to more like shit like that, where I'm like, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in God.
Right.
But like, there's some shit out there we don't understand.
Yeah. But why are we all trying to explain this God thing?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what are we connecting with when like you fucking come home and like a dog is there? Like, what is the empathy thing going on? Like,
right. Yeah.
There's shit we just don't fully understand that I think there was a better understanding for a long time ago. And it's
so
fascinating.
Dude,
how much of this knowledge?
We got to sell like a Discovery Channel show where me and you go around the world.
Egypt, get fucking stoned and be like, yo, I got to get, I'm getting fucking claustrophobic in here.
That would be fucking awesome, dude. We get like scuba certified and we fucking dive down.
I mean, we have to prove to stoners around the world.
And who better than two loosely informed stoner comedians?
No, I think it's fascinating shit, and like it opens my eyes to like new ways of thinking. Because I'm like, yo, we don't have it all figured out, man. We don't fucking know shit. Like Christopher Columbus is a perfect example. Like that shit ain't real. His name wasn't Christopher Columbus, but that's what we've been taught. Like it's wild,
right? That's the shit that's really funny. Where it's like, if look at the shit on a smaller scale as to why businesses might withhold truths and stuff like that. And then it's like, well, society will withhold truths or like keep it for those that are in power or for the priests or the elite or whatever. Like it's still,
if you trust
the power structure to be doing it now, I'm sure over the course of thousands of years, the power structure has.
Absolutely. The perfect example is like in Egypt. Part of the reason Egyptologists are so biased is because Egyptological society is mostly based in Egypt, and it's mostly Muslims who don't want to do and don't want to say anything that contradicts the Quran or the Muslim religion.
Right.
So predate, like, when once you start to predate fucking religion and all that shit, it's like you're now threatening other things in my life. So it's like that's a bias you have to live with. So it's like, you know, there's so many crazy things that you have to fight through. And I think Graham Hancock is this superhero that's like pulled all these things together. And whether or not he's 100% right, he's at least gotten people thinking.
Right. Yeah. He's at least posing interesting questions.
Totally.
Whether he's correct or incorrect, at least he's shining lights. In
he ain't getting proven wrong.
Right.
Which is so interesting.
Oh, that's. Yeah. I mean, no one's out there. We don't know. Like, is there a reason why no one's proven them wrong? Like,
every single, I'd say every new archaeological discovery is pushing the date back further and further and is puzzling archaeologists all over the place. If you look at the last five things, the five big things, there's like something in South America that was underwater, I believe. You got Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. You have fucking this new thing with the Mayans. It's like we don't understand history. History isn't just digging up bones, and that's it.
And like, we're getting into something now where it's like our technology is like, what is it, like Moore's Law or whatever?
Yeah.
Like your computer, like we just keep getting more and more capable of doing things. We're finding more and more stuff. We're only going to keep finding more information.
For shit,
have more
dude.
Processing power.
It's going
to
be insane. And look, we're dealing with the same shit, dude. Climate change, sea level rise.
Right.
It's the same fucking story. Right. Why do we not want to believe it?
Right.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
It's not a fucking, like, I think some of his theories, people will be like, well, he's a climate denier. I don't think he's a climate denier. I think he thinks that, like, climate change is real, but the real climate change we should be worried about is from a comet hitting us, which is I don't fully agree with, but I'm like, all right, I'm still going to recycle, but like, all right, dude, whatever.
Yeah. It's not like we're going to start being like, look, I'm not going to, the comet's coming soon. Yeah. So I'm not going to like, I'm not going to start going to the gym. The comet's coming, dude.
No, but he's like, we got to start putting money into like looking into fucking like comet deflection research and in NASA. And I'm like, yo, you're going pretty far, but I get
but
why
you got
there.
But he's the guy in every fucking movie that's like, I told you, you know, like he'll be the guy on a private jet being flown to the White House to be like, well, I can't even imagine a sci-fi movie with our president now.
But it's like,
he's like, Graham Hancock, you're one of the top scientists in your field.
No, I think
I'll
run
it to the school.
Piece of shit. I think it's like an endless, interesting thought experiment too. So I think like, even if you don't buy into it, it's so interesting to just like, prove to yourself you don't believe it. Like, because like, there's so many things where it's like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I didn't even think about how old the earth is. Like, I didn't even think about that there could have been a civilization that we have no history of because ice sheets grinded it to shit.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Just imagine what would happen if like there was hundreds of feet of water and for how, who knows how long.
Yeah. You in like a few thousand years, this where we are right now, if we untouched, would be nothing.
Yeah.
If there was
the
some
Grand
crazy
Canyon might still be
there's the Hoover Dam might still be there.
Right. Exactly.
The big monuments that we build
and the
might
be
still
like,
be there.
They worship these four heads.
And think about this: on the Hoover Dam, we use the same dating technology that the Egyptians used. They made a fucking map of the stars in the sky that dated when they built the Hoover Dam. Isn't that fucking crazy? Because they know that at some point, some fucking way in, they know that that is going to last longer than our civilization. And I think other fucking people knew that in fucking Easter Island, in fucking Egypt,
Stonehenge.
I think they all knew build big giant things because those will be the things that fucking last.
Oh, man. This is like the fucking sci-fi, like the movie where it's like, they've begun construction on the message to the next generation of civilization.
But it's so, it's sci-fi, it's crazy, but it's also so attainable and maybe true. It's as crazy as the other fucking theory.
As every time we learn something new, period, in life, stuff that previously seemed insane now seems less insane. Every new piece of information where you're like, what? Like the more distance we have from something, like this is such a small scale, but the shit like you don't we don't know about what the our government did 100 years ago.
It's crazy.
And so imagine, well, how are we to judge so we know exactly what happened 2,000 years
right.
ago?
Right. It's insane.
No less 13,000
years ago. A big one, you probably talked about this with the Tamanik and your like conspiracy one, but like the Terrence McKenna like stoned ape theory. Like,
right.
How like we've modernized as a civilization and as man because we ate mushrooms. Like, that's some shit that I'm willing to entertain.
Right.
It's as crazy as...
It's as crazy as natural selection.
It's as crazy as Adam and Eve. It's as crazy as anything else. It's like... And to me, then when you do mushrooms and you have the religious experience and you're like, oh shit, I understand it.
Now, what if I was with 200 people who we didn't have... really any like, you know, for pop culture, and we didn't have anything. We all took mushrooms together. We bug out. We're like, remember the sun last night? It was in the sky. He was angry.
Let's fucking draw it on the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, let's draw the sun. And he was angry at us. The sun was angry, and it's because we need to give him
more
plants.
Hearts.
Yeah, or whatever.
Or
yeah,
whatever
scouts.
Misinterpretation.
Yeah, exactly. Take it.
So I think that shit, yo, I would love to get a time machine.
Yo, dude, we got it. Yo, we got to start working on it.
Could you imagine, though, like, I think about it all the time, like getting a time machine and actually going back to ancient Egypt and seeing what was happening.
Right.
What the fuck? We could be so wrong.
We could be there could be like a floating orb in the sky that's just commanding everyone
right?
to do something.
There could be rivers that are fucking flowing when it was built. It could be fucking raining. It could be a jungle.
Right.
Like Egypt might have been a jungle where people thrived. Like,
of course.
You know, it's fascinating,
shit,
man.
Dude.
And I love talking about it, and I love going back to it. And it's like the thing I talk about like at parties when I'm super high and drunk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, let's talk about this.
All right, guys. Yeah. And it's so nice to talk about because it's, first of all, right now it's, of course, interesting, but it's also like apolitical.
It's apolitical in a way.
In a way. There's some politics.
Totally. You could totally link it to current politics and our future and everything. But like, there's also a way to talk about it that just opens up your way of thinking and that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, I could talk to any Republican about this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I think where you would run into an issue is talking to people who are heavily religious because it really starts to step on their history.
Right. And then, but to me, isn't there also, now I'm going to go out on a limb here, but like Christianity, for example, you tell me there was a civilization before what you know, and I'd be like, well, technically I could parlance like that. I could say that my Jesus may still have happened. Like,
it's
Jesus
possible.
Might all be true, but maybe Jesus, when Jesus tells the story of my dad created 5 days, maybe that's some old
something
lore.
Else.
Jesus is a dude who fucking survived something.
It's 100% like possible. Like, having this prehistory exist doesn't mean that these religions don't have to exist.
Right, exactly. They don't butt up right against it. They butt up like about elements in their
Bibles and in their history.
Right.
Which ultimately isn't the root of all their religions. Like, most people in practicing their religion don't understand the history of it as much. They don't understand the split in Christianity and Roman Catholicism and all that other shit. Like, they understand the practices of it, which makes sense to them, but like, you know, I think once you start to be like, well, you know, like, especially for like the newer religions, you're like, you know, this guy was a con man, or, you know, this was, it's hard to hear. And like, but, you know, Jesus could exist. He could be magical. God could be real.
Yeah.
But I still think
some people might have called him Jesus. A few people was like, I think that's
God,
it's Allah to us.
God could exist in the fucking star of Orion's belt, and we could all be bastardizing what's real.
Yeah.
But I think that doesn't mean there wasn't a fucking civilization that was, that we could learn many things from. A lot of people think that, like, when the Library of Alexandria burned, a lot of the information that was preserved was lost.
Oh, like stuff that had survived.
Stuff that had survived, like Pythagorean theorem, a lot of things that we like attribute to Plato and that time, they were getting that information from Egypt.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? There were astronomy and all those things we were learning. We were going back and learning those things. That was shit that was in the Library of Alexandria. And the history of it is that, like, the burning of that might have been the last fucking remnant of what the truth was.
Like we might have to now go scrape a whole nother, like that would have been,
you know,
finding the thread.
Totally. Now we're scraping the bottom of the fucking peanut butter for any evidence we can find.
Right.
And there's a lot.
Yeah.
But I think you know, it's, I don't know. There's still shit to discover underwater, I bet. I think there's still underground to discover.
I think it was a biologist in this reference, but they said something that I've probably misquoted 100 times on this, but they were like, there are parts of the ocean that are as undiscovered as outer space.
It's insane.
Right. And like when you hear like someone, I probably a stoner, but it was like, underwater is outer space.
It is.
In a weird, like in a fucking
It's 100%. It's as
like we're still discovering new fucking new fish shit. And shit. And
but like, I think like what's also interesting is that I think the history of man might go as deep or much deeper in the same way that the analogy is like, well, we only know this much about the ocean. We only know this much about our history.
Right.
Like, I think the ocean of the knowledge of our history is much deeper than we know right now.
Right,
and
right.
But we're stubborn in just being like, well, we know everything because we're the most advanced civilization ever.
Right.
And we've uncovered everything. We've dug up all the dinosaurs. We've gone back to the dinosaurs, so we got it. We know everything.
Yeah, right. What
have we missed? What have we missed? And I think Graham Hancock has opened that ocean in my brain.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I've never done mushrooms. I intend to. I have like permission from Tiff to do them once before we have a kid at some point. So I'm like looking very forward to that situation.
I think mushrooms or any sort of psychedelic are interesting because they do show, I think it's a peek into what the experience was for like those people back then.
Right.
Because I think they were going through those things. Yeah. Unintentionally or intentionally.
Right. Or they were like, yo, like it's the same way how we found out like sex felt good.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, yo, what the fuck?
Why is my dick hard when I look at that? And oh, wait, you have something over there.
There's a universal experience, I think, when you do like a ego killing amount of any psychedelic.
Right.
Like I think you can do mushrooms and giggle and have fun, or you can also do mushrooms and really have a deep interpersonal experience, you know, like I did what is called a heroic dose of mushrooms one time and it's fucking it's an ego killer. Like you really fucking feel like shit, but it changes you slightly. Your outlook changes. And I think ayahuasca is another one of those things.
Yeah.
I think ayahuasca might even be deeper. There is a fucking possibility that ayahuasca might be some connection to the spirit world or like
because
the world of plants or the world of the nature or who fucking knows.
Yeah. That's something that Graham Hancock was saying, because that's what the shamans believe is that it's an ancient spirit talking to them through ayahuasca.
Through the trees. And there's so much cool shit that's like a lot of cave drawings and a lot of like ancient serpent like mythology, the feathered serpent and all this shit exists all over the world. Like all that kind of shit exists all over the world. And like ayahuasca is, you know, like having the like half human, half animal hybrid come up in cave drawings. It's like, yo, these people were tripping out and having experiences that were like DMT
heads,
level.
Like of the Egypt, and like they also had them in other areas around the world. There's like similar hieroglyphics that would be
all
like,
over the world.
How were we into the same shit? And it's like talking fucking
we were
animal heads.
All eating the same mushrooms.
Right. We're all on the activating the same different part of our brain or
that fucking Mark Wahlberg movie where it was like the trees are making them kill each other or whatever is like a very bastardized version of what this is, where it's like the shaman believed that the trees communicated to them to put together these two things to do ayahuasca.
Right.
And then they've learned these lessons in nature and in humanity that like other people have sought out, like CEOs and people have from all over the world. It's spreading all over the place. They're doing it in California.
Right.
It's super popular amongst CEOs and that class of people. And like, it's only spread through word of mouth of people. So like, think about the way that like bees fucking pollinate fucking plants.
Right.
We're just pollinating this fucking thing, but it's doing it in a crazy ass way. Like a fungus can fucking grow in an ant's brain and then make it go do something crazy. But like ayahuasca can give us these life changing experiences so we can be better to the earth. And like, there's some cool shit that like, I'm afraid to do it, but I should do it.
You quote, like, that's exactly my vibe. You know what I mean? I feel like I should do it, but I'm also afraid.
A lot of things too, is it's like, it makes you, it's this truth thing that you hear that you no longer can lie to yourself. And that's scary as fuck.
Yeah.
Because we live in this construct where we have to lie to ourselves about a lot of things.
Right.
And some people go into it and have life-changing.
You're preaching to the choir, brother. I still call myself a comedian.
One of these Joe Rogan dudes that did ayahuasca came out and changed his name afterwards. I think he calls himself Aubrey something. And it's because he was I don't think that was my name. People come out of it and have these life. And I'm afraid of that.
Right. The defense of it is that it is something that naturally occurs in our brain too. How weird is that?
DMT.
Right. DMT.
Right. Which is something that people think life, when you have a near death experience, when you see the light, that is a flood of DMT.
And
pregnant women have babies, DMT is kind of flooded so that they can forget the experience to do it again. There's all sorts of uses for it in biology. Right. And now people are doing DMT all over California. And it's it's not hurting them, but they're seeing all these geometric shapes. They're being visited by these fucking entities.
And there's a lot of parallels. To keep coming up with our boy here, the Joe Rogan narrated spirit molecule, or the God molecule, I think it's called. It's a Netflix doc about it. And it's 12 people who are from all over.
I haven't watched that. I should watch it.
It's pretty cool. It's not long.
Yeah.
But it is narrated by Joe Rogan. So people better deal with that. But there's 10 people. Excuse me. I'm going to rewatch it. But there's 10 people who never tripped together or anything like
the
that.
The same
and
experience.
All these
probably.
Parallels. And they're all I was touching my hand to another being and it was conveying information to me.
Dude,
and shit
it's
like
crazy.
That. Yeah.
Graham Hancock's stories about it are fucking crazy.
And if our mind is capable of doing it, the fact that ayahuasca doesn't kill you, but that it makes you do that, if our mind is capable of doing that, don't we owe it to our mind to do it.
It's crazy. Yeah. Here's the thing. Mushrooms, when you do it, you know your brain is tripping out. This is what I've heard, right? Yeah. As opposed to ayahuasca. So I've done mushrooms and you kind of can be all right, settle down. You can blink and you can be back. You know what I mean? Depending on how it is.
Yeah.
Ayahuasca, you're not in control. And it's been described as non-local entities are interacting with you.
Yeah.
Meaning this thing is not, you can feel it. It's something else.
Right.
And I'm willing to entertain that.
That sounds like a fucking wild ride.
Do you know what I mean? Maybe ancient Egypt was in touch with those things. It was all over their fucking mythology. Maybe they found a way to fucking, meditate or do something to get in touch with this world. Who fucking know? I'm fascinated by it.
Oh, me too, dude. Me too. I don't know if I have the balls to do it, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be I'm a little too old.
Yeah,
and I'm a little
too,
I
think if I was in my early 20s.
If it's you're making the wrong choice with your wife,
and
I come back and you now believe that, I can't have that happen.
No, I think if I was in my, I might have missed my chance to do it.
Yeah.
I think mushrooms was where it stopped for me,
right?
But to do it, man, it would be.
I do say, if I'm ever, and I've told Tiff this, if I'm ever really sick or terminal, I'm I want you juicing me up with ayahuasca. I want to be fucking
right.
I want to
learn
just
the
see
lessons.
It all. I just want to see it all and get the fuck out of here.
I'll say
I'm
the one thing I
mega
do
dose me with LSD. I don't give a shit.
I do have a project that I'm working on that might have some ayahuasca elements. So there's a possibility that I would make myself do it for work.
Quite honestly. Yeah, what a fuck. Talking about lying to yourself.
It would be really wild. I know.
Talk about.
It's one of these things where it's such a passion project that if it ever became a thing, I would feel so passionate about it that I'd be I got to experience it. I can't be fucking around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, you owe it to the art if you're going to go after that. Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
Shit. I'm so fucking excited right now. I feel dumping my whole career and just career
don't,
in quotes.
Don't.
And I feel just fucking hitting the high seas and being we're solving this.
It's fascinating when you find those people that like Graham Hancock is one of those people that gets me excited about new ideas.
Right.
Because this is new shit and I'm excited about it.
It's a little pop science-y in its ingestibility, which I always kind of fall for. Fell for Gladwell. I fell for all those biohack, Tim Ferriss, all the biohacking, the research on sleep, all
right,
that.
Intermittent fasting bulletproof coffee
and
all this shit.
I can get myself into, I can easily get myself into all that. But there's a reason, you know, like there's some totally. Elements to it. Like there's everything can be a fucking sham. You
there's
know?
Truth to take from it. And with Graham Hancock, what I like about him and what I would suggest to anyone who's into his shit is like, I listen to his audiobooks on Audible or whatever. I don't know if that's the sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's don't. Whatever. I would love them.
Yeah.
I was literally going to text someone and say, "What's your promo code for Audible?" But then instead, I'm going to text HeadGum and go,
"Yeah,
can you get me Audible as a sponsor? Because I want to start listening to audiobooks."
All right, I'll say this is a good advertising for it because I listen to his episodes. Or his books on his podcast on Audible,
yeah,
and he narrates them, so it's like his silky smooth voice. It's great,
yeah.
But when you get them now and you get Fingerprints of the Gods, he talks about how the book is imperfect and how there are mistakes in it.
Oh, he can kind of fucking say like,
he can go back and be like, "This was wrong. This was based in science that I trusted that was wrong," and like, you gotta respect that shit. Like, he can he stands up to criticism because he will say when he's wrong, but it never folds his entire argument.
Right.
Which is makes him bulletproof.
Yeah. Or, and to play devil's advocate here, someone who cares enough and has enough knowledge in another direction hasn't come up and been like,
totally.
He hasn't met his match yet.
Right. Totally. Right. But but you better believe there are hundreds of people that have disputed him.
Yeah.
And I think they've done a good job of discrediting him because, you know, it's easy to discredit someone in the mainstream science world, especially. But
I always think about like someone once told me an anecdote. It's like, it's your first day of work. You're sitting in a room with like six other people. A seventh person walks in, and before she gets over there, they all go, "She's fucking impossible
for
to work
sure.
with. She's crazy."
That's exactly right.
And then you're just like, okay, yeah, she's crazy. And you're
so
like,
the new
you're,
person,
the whole your whole time, you're like, well, everyone kind of said you were crazy.
So the new person stepping into the Egyptological society, being like, whoa, this is 30,000 years older than we thought. 100,000 years older than we thought. Like, what the fuck? Like, no one's gonna think that guy's sane.
Yeah, it's easier just to say. It's easier just to say he's.
It's fucking so tight.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's awesome. Well, Sean, I want to say thanks for coming
on
and talking about it. What's your Twitter handle so people who are into this can also tweet at us and give us some.
Tweet at me what I was wrong about. Tweet at me what is the new shit I don't know about.
Yeah,
I love
please.
All that.
Catch us up.
At Sean Diston, just the way my name's spelled, SHAUNDISTON.
Nice, dude. Yeah, and do you have anything you want to plug this time?
Yeah, you know, I'm around UCB in LA, and I've got some shows that I write for. I don't know. Let's Google me. I'll say the thing I really want to plug, honestly, if I'm going to plug anything, is just listen to Graham Hancock, either his YouTube documentary or a Joe Rogan early interview. I think those are all accessible, and I think the audiobooks are great.
Yeah, I'm going to get on that audiobook.
Totally.
Fuck, dude.
They're great.
I'm so pumped. As always, I'm at John Gabris, no H in either. Tweet at me. Listen to my other podcasts, Action Boys on Patreon, Raised by TV at Earwolf or Stitcher Premium or some shit. And thanks, shitheads. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.